हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभं व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांतिः. We have noticed very clearly in this text Vedanta Saraha, the author introduces the four factors of the text: Adhikari, Vishayaha, Sambandaha and Prayojanam or Phalam. The qualified person for whose purpose this book is, subject matter is presented, the eligible candidate is Adhikari. And subject matter discussed in this book is called Vishayaha. And Sambandaha is the connection between the one who is qualified, one who reads this text, and the text and the subject matter of the text, and the benefit of the knowledge one gains by studying this text. These are the connections which we will understand elaborately in detail later on. Then the last thing is the phalam, the benefit of, you know, studying this and gaining the knowledge by studying this text. So the benefit, these are the four factors. Of these four factors, he started his discussing the first factor called Adhikari. Repeatedly listening to me every Thursday here, you know the Sanskrit words, terms. And you all should remember that the Saturdays we are going to begin our Sanskrit classes also. After our Mandukya Upanishad class, there will be Sanskrit class. So Adhikari, the one who is eligible for understanding the subject matter discussed in this textbook, as one who is inclined for this knowledge, the one for whose purpose, the one in keeping with whose inclination this text subject matter is presented here, he is the Adhikari. And who is that Adhikari that is discussed? We are still discussing the first factor of the textbook called Adhikari. In that context, we understood different types of karma, etc. And later on, now we are discussing the qualifications required on the part of the Adhikari. Who is the Adhikari? The one who is endowed with the qualification. Kasya Adhikaraha Asti. Who is the one who has the Adhikara? Who is the one who has qualifications? Who is qualified to, you know, attain the knowledge, pursue knowledge and attain the knowledge and benefit by the attainment of knowledge, isn't it? Who is the adhikari? And there we have seen the fourfold qualifications which the endowed with which one becomes an adhikari. There we have seen first nitya anitya vastu vivekaha, isn't it? And there we said nitya anitya vastu vivekaha means the discriminative understanding of what is permanent and what is impermanent, what is eternal, what is ephemeral. This discriminative knowledge of what is the absolute, what is permanent, that how do you attain this? We come to know only through the scripture. Because scripture states absolute reality is the only eternal thing here. Nothing other than the reality is permanent, means eternal. The only thing which is there beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly is the eternal reality that is implied by the term Brahma. Reality means what? The reality without which the universe cannot exist at all. That because of the presence of which alone the universe exists, that is the reality. That is called the ultimate truth. And that truth, ultimate truth or absolute reality, the reality of the whole cosmos, implied by the term Brahman, alone is eternal, alone is permanent. Everything else other than the reality is impermanent. This fact we understand through the scripture. Then later on, by our own experience also, and also by reasoning also, we understand everything else in the world is impermanent. We cannot use our reasoning, and we cannot use, using our experience also, we cannot arrive at the fact of Brahman being the only eternal thing. That we understand only with the help of the scripture. But everything else in this world is impermanent, that we understand how? With the help of the scripture, by using our reasoning, and also using our own, also from our own experience, we understand. Because we know anything which has a beginning definitely has an end. Therefore, everything else which has a beginning has an end means that we know everything has a beginning here, therefore it should have an end. This way also we understand everything else in this universe is impermanent. Similarly, our own experience has taught us that we've been seeing very clearly that nothing seems to be permanent here. Everything comes and goes. So this we understand. Once this viveka, this discriminative knowledge comes, then what happens? If what is the reality alone is permanent, everything else is impermanent means, an impermanent thing cannot definitely give me what I am seeking. What a human being has been seeking choicelessly is the everlasting, permanent happiness and peace. Therefore, a peace and happiness which a human being is seeking wants it to be the permanent one. Therefore, a permanent happiness, eternal peace cannot be attained through something which is ephemeral, something which is impermanent. So the permanent thing alone can bless me with permanent happiness. This understanding, so this understanding of what is permanent and what is impermanent makes us think also that a impermanent thing cannot give me permanent happiness. this understanding really blesses with what? Dispassion towards other things, which is the second qualification. As I made very clear last class, dispassion does not mean aversion. Dispassion is born of maturity. Maturity implies understanding. Understanding what now? Understanding of the limitations of everything makes you grow out of desire for everything else. Why should we be interested in things which cannot give us what we seek? The simplest thing, even if we go to IKEA, you will not go and wander all over the place. You, before going itself, seeing the catalog, you are very clear what you want. Therefore, you go straight to that particular place where the object, what you want, is there. Because you don't want to waste your time, energy and money on things which you are not interested in. Because you have come for a given purpose. Here also, the purpose is very clear. What I am seeking is, you know, everlasting peace and happiness. And that is not in anything else means. Naturally, for happiness, I'm not saying you should not seek anything else. For happiness and for absolute peace, you know, limitless happiness, everlasting peace and happiness, you will not waste your time anymore in anything other than Brahman. Because you are very clear. It is this understanding, you know, helps you naturally grow out of desire for everything else, which is called dispassion, which means you neither have passion nor do you have aversion towards anything, because you know one thing: nothing in this world is responsible for my unhappiness. Therefore, you have no aversion towards anything, nor do you have any passion for anything, because nothing in the world is a source of happiness or can bless me with limitless, everlasting happiness, because everything else is time-bound. This is what is dispassion, isn't it? So dispassion, don't mistake dispassion for something frustration. Dispassion is a beautiful, you know, thing which is an expression of one's maturity, born of understanding of the limitations of the worldly things. A dispassionate person cannot afford to have any hatred also towards anything in the world. There is neither hatred, neither aversion, nor passion. All that dispassion implies, your total passion is for the knowledge. Dispassion towards everything else also implies what? The only passion, your only passion becomes knowledge of the truth, knowledge of Brahman. Therefore, this is the second qualification. Then we have the third qualification we were seeing last class. The third qualification is what? Third qualification is being endowed with sixfold disciplines. So discriminative knowledge will bless one with the required dispassion. And that dispassion, will help one to make efforts to become disciplined also. So what are the sixfold disciplines? We saw last class, the first discipline is shamaha, a mental discipline. Shamaha. And I said shamaha means mastery over one's thoughts, one's mind, which I said being able to manage one's thoughts will bless one with shamaha. Being able to manage one's thoughts itself is called what? Shamaha. So the author presents how the shamaha is a qualification. See, some textbooks tell you one has to be qualified for knowledge. But they do not say what those qualifications are. Some textbooks tell you one has to be qualified for knowledge, and they also tell you what those qualifications are. But they will not tell you how to become qualified. I told you last class itself, Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to become qualified also, isn't it? Simply, if we go and tell somebody, be qualified, you have to become qualified. How to become qualified? I want to be qualified. How to become qualified, isn't it? You ask, that's why we saw last class, Shamaha means having mastery over mind, means being capable of managing one's thoughts. The capacity to manage one's thoughts. So managing one's thoughts means thoughts also emotions, isn't it? Such as, in fact, desire, anger, desire in the form of likes and dislikes, anger, greed, you know, pride, etc. Very natural emotions and natural thoughts. So we need not feel guilty about having desires or being angry, etc. Very natural for us to be angry, to be desirous of things, to have everything. We have to have all of them. So, but still we have to manage those thoughts. And I told you, it is to have shamaha, to have shanti, to have shamaha, to be able to manage the thoughts. The only way is to commit oneself to live a life of values, to live a life of dharma. In fact, to live a life of karma yogaha. So living a life of karma yogaha, which is completely a dharma governed life, which only way we can have, we can manage our thoughts, we can have shamaha. The next qualification we saw last class was damaha. Damaha means what? Having mastery over all your indriyani, sense, five sense powers and five powers of organs of actions, which means mastery over sense organs. It's called what? We say here damaha. Mastery over sense organs, mastery over organs of actions also, which means powers. So here having mastery over means how, in fact, diverting, in fact, this author says very clearly, very beautifully, diverting the attention, you know, from everything and anything which will take you away from the pursuit of knowledge itself, is what will bless you with the capacity to have mastery over your mind, shamaha. Which means if you are given to the discipline of shravanam, you know, regularly listening to the unfoldment of the scriptures, regularly in touch with the shastram, which is the best satsangaha. No, satsangaha means it is not simply singing bhajans, etc. Listening to the unfoldment of the scriptures, listening to the subject matter of the teaching of subject matter of the shastram will help you, will remind you again and again of the value of dharma. The value, because it will remind you of the purpose of living this life. It will remind you of the ultimate end being moksha. The study of the shastra will remind you of the value of the knowledge of the reality. The study of the shastra will remind you of what is permanent again and again. How the permanent alone can give you what you are ultimately seeking. Thereby, the study of the shastra will remind you of the importance and the value of the knowledge. Thereby, study of the shastram will remind you of your commitment, the importance of your commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. Thereby, the value of the study of the shastram also will help you, remind you of the importance of becoming mentally qualified for the knowledge. And there, study of the Shastram also will help you to understand the value of Dharma. Again and again and again, there will be emphasis on living a life of Dharma. If you do not live a life of Dharma, what you will be missing? The Shastram will remind you of the greater value of what we will be losing, what will be missing if we do not live a life of Dharma. The greatest value of, living, value of what we are going to gain ultimately by living a life of Dharma. The Shastram will remind you, thereby the more you are reminded of the value of Dharma, the more you will be inclined, you will make all possible efforts to live a life of Dharma. The only way you can commit yourself to live a life of Dharma, once you are living a life of Dharma, means your will becomes surrendered to Dharma, the law and order, the universal law and order. Because you will live a very, very conscious, alert life. Even a small wrong action, a small thing also, will somehow disturb the universal law and order. If my action, my behavior, what I speak, what I say, what I think, what I do physically, now it will really, anything, if it transgresses Dharma, then definitely it will have an impact, it will disturb the order somewhere. And the disturbance caused in the order will definitely, come back to me as a disturbance later on. Therefore, it be disturbance. Once you understand, then you will, knowing the value of Dharma, you will live a life of Dharma. That's only way you can manage prudently, intelligently your thoughts. That's why thought management is self-management, mind management, which is called Shamaha. Once you have Shamaha, you're committed to live a life of Dharma, you also understand it is very important for you to have discipline in terms of sense organs and your organs of actions also, which means mastery over senses implies not allowing oneself in the enjoyment of anything which will take you away from the pursuit of knowledge. For example, you are blessed with sense organs. What are they for? Sense organs are for the enjoyment of this world, for experiencing this world. Eyes are for seeing the objects. Ears are for hearing the words. You know very well your nose, your tongue. All these sense organs are given to you for enjoying this world. But how much should I enjoy? What should I see? What I should not see? What should I hear? What I should not hear? What should I smell? What I should not smell? All these sense objects, they're meant for enjoyment. I can, but overindulgence in terms of enjoyment of things will distract you from your pursuit of knowledge. So, one should have moderation in enjoyment of sense objects. So, with moderation, avoiding overindulgence, I carefully use my will to say no to sense objects, which will distract my attention, take my attention away from my pursuit of knowledge. See, anything will be, if you think it will disturb your shravanam, disturb your pursuit of knowledge, you should be cautious and conscious of not allowing it. This is called Dhammaha. Understand? Because that's what the author says here. We saw the Dhammaha also. Then, next is, we already discussed these things elaborately in Atthubodha class. Other lessons. Samaha, Shamaha, Dhammaha. The third discipline is Uparamaha. So, Shamaha helps you to have Dhammaha also, isn't it? Because you are conscious. You have to remember, suppose you are sleeping, go to bed, okay? You need to go to bed. When should I go to bed? Here there is no adharma involved, isn't it? You are not doing anything wrong here. My house, my bed, you know, nobody, I can go to bed anytime I want to. I can keep awake the whole night or till midnight and I can watch television. So what? You are not hurting anybody there. You are not doing anything. It's nothing adharma there. My house, my hard-earned money, my television, my time, my energy, I'm sitting and watching, so what? This is an indiscipline, isn't it? There's a time when to watch television, how much to watch, how much to know, what is not necessary for you, which means you should go to bed early. So it's my house, so what? If a holiday, why should I get up early? I can get up any time I want to get up. So occasionally you are not well, you are traveling, something happened, you are not able to get up, it's okay. No, early to bed, early to rise means a discipline, isn't it? It is not India's family, it's London, so it's very cold here, we can't get up. We have to go to bed late after barbecue and then we have to get up late also. This is England, this is a culture, it's different, you have to understand. You have to be a Roman when you are in Rome, so because you have to follow this culture. I'm not saying, even here, you don't need to get up like Indians in 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock and all, 6 o'clock. At least, you know, but going to bed very late and watching television, you know, that the programs which completely take you away, distract your mind, because the what you watch more, what you hear more, if they will disturb your ears, disturb you, it will come again and again in your mind, which will make you think only those objects. So a real mature person who has Purusharthan Nischayaha, who knows the preciousness of this, even lifespan. The whole life, human lifespan is so precious. The time is very precious. We can't afford to waste our time like that, isn't it? So if we really know that, I'm not saying you should not watch television. You can watch. What is this life for then? You should really watch television. But I'm not saying, no, overindulgence I'm talking about. I know some people all the time eating late nights, very late, eat very late night and sit very late night. It's all overindulgence. And what books I am reading? Who are my friends? What am I doing? All these things, no, the food I eat, the books I read, the friends I associate with, the things I discuss, all these things matter. If we really think anything which is unnecessary, unwanted, you know, which will distract me from, apart from your duties, of course you have to do your duties. And then socializing is very important. I know that we have to have friends. People who are not interested in this also will be your friends. Whether you have friends or not, you will be a good friend for everybody. Any Shastra student will be a good friend for everybody, anybody. But they like you or not, but still you have no hate towards anybody. But still, if people, because always know we have, you know, all any the association, friendships, anything which this will distract you from, you know, the spiritual pursuit, and you have to be careful, you have to really, you have the guts to, strength to drag you back. It's all what? Dhammaha. Understand? Now we're going to Uparamaha. So, because you have the withdrawn mind, Samaha also helps you to withdraw your attention from unwanted actions. And Dhamaha also helps you to withdraw your mind from unwanted, unnecessary things. Now you have all your attention. Is it? You have attention, which means you are... But now, where should you place your attention now? You have withdrawn from unwanted, unnecessary things. Where should you place your attention now? What should you be doing? So, Uparamaha means here, Swadharma Anushtanam. So, now focus on one's own duties. I don't know what my duties are. It's the worst thing, isn't it? If you say that. So better know one's duty. One should know one's duties, responsibilities, and one should pay attention to one's duties. One should do your duties and responsibilities. Which means you are not distracted by things which are not your duties, which are not your responsibility. So because doing a duty means, again, when you are focusing your attention on your duties, then you can do it attentively, wholeheartedly, as perfectly as possible, as efficiently as possible, which again will be more contributive. Okay, so for performing one's own duties, which will be more contributive. How can your performance of your duties be more contributive? Because you're focused, because you are attentive, because you are enthusiastic in doing your duties, because you're efficient. Because you are attentive, you're also efficient. You're able to do as perfectly as possible. Therefore, is more contributive also. This Swadharma Anushtanam is Uparamaha, otherwise called Uparamanam or Uparatihi. Uparamaha, masculine gender word. Uparamanam, neuter gender word. Uparatihi, feminine gender word. All the three mean the same. Performance of one's own duties. But here the author says one more thing. He also means, Uparamaha also means, if it's a choice, okay, it's optional. The definite meaning of the word Uparamaha is doing one's duties. Now you have withdrawn from unwanted things with the capacity to manage your mind. And because you're conscious of, doing the right things, because of your discipline, you have sensory discipline, you have mental discipline. Therefore, as a disciplined person, now you're able to focus on your own duties. This is Uparamaha. But this author also gives another meaning here. Uparamaha, let us read the definition what he gives. He is defining every word. I think we stopped with this, no? Last week. These are all old lessons. Now we are coming to the new lesson. Nivartitanam Yetesham Tad Vyatirikta Vishayebhyaha Uparamanam Uparatihi Athava Vihitanam Karmanam Vidhina Parityagaha. Okay. Nivartitanam Yetesham means, Nivartita means what now? When the mind is disciplined, your mind is no more your actions are in conformity with dharma. Your mind is not disturbed. You have relatively, managed mind. You have mastery over your thoughts, and that way the mind, and also your sense organs also are disciplined because of your practice of dhammaha. You are not overindulging in anything. You're consciously making use of the best use of your sense organs and organs of actions, and also your mind, isn't it? You are consciously using them all. Such, therefore, with that mind, withdrawn mind and withdrawn sense organs. Sense organs are not, you do not allow them to indulge in the enjoyment of the external objects unconsciously, mechanically. You are conscious, isn't it? Sometimes you are not even conscious. So now, because you're conscious of this, having your sense organs disciplined, you're conscious of conscious of your sense organs, which means you do not allow them, you do not use them to indulge in things distract the mind from the pursuit of knowledge. Therefore, he says, Nivartitanam yetesham, means the mind and sense organs, organs of actions which have been withdrawn from the unwanted, unnecessary activities and thinking, such mind things. Tad vyatirikta vishayebhyaha. Tad vyatirikta means what now? The shravanam, shravanam. So, shravana vyatirikta vishayebhyaha. Okay. This mind and sense organs now withdrawn from anything and everything which will distract your attention from the pursuit of knowledge. Vishayebhyaha uparamanam uparatihi athava uparatihi. You can call it uparamanam or uparatihi. Tattvabodha teacher says Swadharma Anushtanam. Here it is not mentioned. Swadharma Anushtanam is Uparamaha. So performance of one's own duty is very important. Why should I do my duties? If you do not do your duties, Nitya Karma, Naimittika, if you do not do what should be done, you will end up doing what should not be done. You know that? If we do not do what we should do, our duties, we'll end up doing what should not be done, what need not be done. So better, understand what I'm saying. You have no say. You have no say over this. You have no say means, you have no say about doing, performing actions. If you do not decide, better know your duties and do your duties, so that you are doing definitely what should be done by you. Otherwise, you will end up doing what need not be done, what should not be done. Understand? Which will make you an indisciplined person. Therefore, better do your duties. But here the author gives another one more meaning here. So, should I perform my duties or not? If you say, what choice do you have? No choice. You have to, it's not optional. Doing one's duties is not optional, isn't it? It's a compulsory. You have to do your duties. But there's one more thing is there, discipline is there, which is optional discipline. That is what he says here. Vihitanam karmanam vidhina parityagaha. Either if you have to do your duties, if you do not want to do anything at all, if you are mature, if you want to commit yourself totally to the pursuit of knowledge, No, I don't want anything in the world. I want moksha. I only want moksha. I want only knowledge. If you are ready, then Shastram gives an option. Not for everybody. That is a discipline of Vividisha Sanyasaha. It's called a discipline called Vividisha Sanyasaha. So Vividisha means desire for knowledge. So Sanyasaha means renunciation. So renunciation of even compulsory duties, all the duties, all the karma is allowed if the person has the burning urge for knowledge of the truth and if he is also qualified, okay, for the knowledge. If you have already have shamaha, if you already have damaha, if you do not have shamaha and damaha, you are not allowed, okay? If you have shamaha, if you have damaha, if you have nitya anitya vastu vivekaha, and if you have vairagyam, you know, the dispassion also, if these two qualifications are very definitely there, and you also have shamaha and damaha, then you can commit yourself totally to the pursuit of knowledge. See what happens. If a person knows moksha being the ultimate choiceless end, and a person comes to know it is knowledge of the truth alone will free me from bondage, that fact also if a person comes to know, then knowing the value of knowledge, if all that is, all that I want in this life can be gained only by attaining knowledge, then why should I go for anything else? Let me be committed to the pursuit of only knowledge, if you think. If you are able, no, that commitment, no, sannyasaha is not something, the renunciation is not simply wearing saffron robes and then just taking or giving. It implies the mind, how committed mentally you are to the pursuit of knowledge. How you are dying for knowledge. Then the seriousness is there. Even with the purusharth, one need not become, one renunciate, one need not become a sannyasi for jnanam or mokshaha. Understand? That is why this is only an optional discipline. This Vidisha Sanyasaha is not a compulsory discipline. It is an optional discipline. So without this discipline, being given to this discipline also, one can definitely attain knowledge and moksha. So Uparamaha, if you take the other meaning, perform, you know, the commit, the performance of one's own duties, withdrawing one's mind and sense organs, you know, from everything unwanted things and focusing on one's duties is Uparamaha, he said, very important. But this teacher also gives one more optional discipline, also is meant by the word Uparatihi, which means Vividisha Sanyasaha. Such a person, no, the one who is totally committed, wants to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge, to the exclusion of everything else. And this person has completed his duties, that's also there. Who is the one who is allowed to go for sannyasa? The one who has completed his duties and responsibilities also. Which means, you know, not, it should not be an escapism. We should not mistake it for, no, shirking one's duties and responsibilities. Just simply to escape from one's duties a person decides to take life sannyasa, it is wrong thing. Okay? This person must have really done one's duty, completed one's duties to some extent. And he must be ready, he must have the shamaha and damaha already. If he wants to then totally commit himself to the pursuit of knowledge, and he is allowed to take to a life of sannyasa, he is allowed to commit, no, live a life of renunciation. And this person, such a renunciate, is called Vividisha Sannyasi. And having taken this Vividisha Sannyasa, then how should he live? He should follow. Even this Vidhi Purvaka means, and there is a ritual performed. It's not simply taking one's, no, just somebody one day go to the shop and buy these things and wear orange robes. No. There is a vidhi, there is a ritual performed, there is a mantra upadesha given, there is a ritual. And as per the instructions, as per the rules, regulations instructed in the scripture, this ritual is to be done, and one can, you know, announce oneself, you know, announce the world that one has become a renunciate. And the person is supposed to wear the saffron clothes also. Even the color of the clothes is supposed to remain the person all the time of his commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. The color itself is the flame, color of the flame. Flame stands for knowledge. No? You are wearing these clothes means it is supposed to remind you of your commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, which means you as a sannyasi, you cannot involve yourself in anything other than shastram. You study shastram, listen to the shastram, be with the shravanam, or be reflective. The sannyasi has to be doing shravanam or mananam or contemplation. Submit all the time, or study or share your knowledge. Where is your mind? All the time, the sannyasi's mind must be only in the subject matter of the shastram. If that is possible, yes, my mind will not go to anything else. My mind can be only in shastram. If such strength is there, then one can, it's optional, it's not compulsory, okay? One can live a life of sannyasaha. And such a discipline is called Vividisha Sannyasaha. And here, you should not mistake it, there's another sannyasa also is there called Vidvat Sannyasaha. Vidvat Sannyasaha means whether a person, Vidvat Sannyasaha implies wisdom. So Vidvat Sannyasi is a wise person. The two words, okay? The Vidisha Sannyasi is the one who takes to a life of renunciation for knowledge. Vidvat Sannyasi is the one, you know, who has already attained knowledge. So, whether a person has lived a householder's life or whether he lived a life of renunciation, still if a person has become a wise person, the wise person, whether he is a sannyasi or a non-sannyasi, whether he is a renunciate or a non-renunciate, any person, if he is wise, he is what? Vidvat sannyasi. Understand, a wise person is Vidvat Sannyasi. But here the discipline is for the one who has yet to attain knowledge. Is it clear? So please remember, I am telling this, Uparamaha has two meanings. One meaning is withdrawing oneself from all other unwanted, unnecessary activities and things, and focusing on one's own duties and involving oneself in performing one's own duties in conformity with dharma is uparamaha or uparatihi. There is the meaning. Another meaning is what? An optional discipline, living a life of vidisha sannyasaha. Is it clear or not? So don't get confused with vidvat sannyasa. Okay? This is the uparamaha. Okay. Now we'll go to the next discipline is titiksha. Now what is titiksha? This author defines everything beautifully here. Look at this. Shitoshnadi Dvandva Sahishnuta. So titiksha means endurance, forbearance. What should we endure in life? So here, endurance itself is what? A discipline. So, Shita Ushna Adi Dvandva Sahishnuta. Dvandva means pair. Shitam means cold. Ushna means what? Heat, isn't it? Cold and heat we have. Adi means etc. Why? There are a pair of opposites. Cold and heat are pair of opposites, isn't it? We don't have only one pair of opposites. Pain, pleasure. Honor, dishonor. Success, failure. Victory, defeat. Isn't it? All these are what now? Pairs of opposites. Our life is full of pairs of opposites. Always, we have to, every day we are going through situations. When we have situations which are desirable, and there are also situations which are not desirable. Pain is not desirable. Pleasure is very much desirable. Success is desirable, failure is undesirable, defeat is undesirable, victory is desirable, honor is desirable, dishonor is undesirable. In winter, cold is undesirable. In summer, heat is undesirable. Isn't it? So, all these paths of opposites, we can go on, we can add. So, these paths of opposites are inevitable, unavoidable in life. And here, they are not only paths of opposites, they are also complementary paths. How they are complementary? If there is no such a thing called heat at all, only cold means, how will it be? How will it be? Tell me. Only cold. You will not know the beauty, isn't it? There must be, it's a complementary also. It's called Mithunam, isn't it? Mithunam means complementary pair. Dvandva means pair of opposites also. The pairs of opposites are also complementary pairs. We never realize that. Sweetness means what? Only sweetness. No bitterness. Only pleasure, 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 pleasure. No pain at all. Or how will it be? I tell you, You know, these pairs of opposites are in fact complementary pairs. So it's, therefore, you know the value of the other only when you go through the one. And these pairs of opposites are unavoidable in our lives. They are of the nature of coming and going. We have to understand these pairs of opposites. Whether we like it or not, they are unavoidable. This is again here also we need maturity to understand the fact. What is the fact? The fact about these pairs of opposites is that they are unavoidable, inevitable. And they definitely come, whether we like it or not, and they definitely go away also, whether we like it or not. A desirable situation comes, we like it, we don't want it to go, but it will go. Pleasure comes and pleasure will go. Pain comes, pain also will go. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukha daha agama payino nityaha tam stiti kshasva bharata. When sense organs come in contact with the sense objects, you can't help. The sense organs are meant for coming in contact with sense objects, to enjoy sense objects. When they come in, so you can't avoid interacting with the world. You can't live all the time keeping all your senses closed and sit in one place. No, they're meant for enjoyment. They're meant for seeing everything, interacting with the world of objects. When you interact with the world of objects, come in contact with world sense objects, you can't help. This interaction will definitely give rise to the experience of pairs of opposites. You have no choice. But only one thing, you have to learn to endure them, knowing the fact that all these pairs of opposites are impermanent, anityaha. Agama apayinaha, they come and go. Pain comes and goes, pleasure also comes and goes. When pain comes and goes, you feel relieved. But when the pleasure comes and goes, you know, it's more painful. You prefer less pain or more pain? Therefore, that is the nature. And so if you understand this fact, they come and go. Agama apayinaha anityaha. Dvandvaha agama apayinaha. They come and go. Anityaha, they are impermanent. If you remember this fact, the situations are unavoidable, inevitable, they are impermanent, they come and go. This is the fact about all the our experiences we have in life. No experience is permanent. So understanding the fact should bless you with the acceptance of the fact also, isn't it? Once you remember this fact, then you can learn to endure them. And one more thing. These pairs of opposites we go through in life are also determined by the natural laws. Lord in the form of natural laws. Why I go through this? Why other person does not go through this situation? What is pain for me is a pleasure for other person. What is a pleasure for other person is a pain for me. So, why? We have to understand all that we go through in life definitely have their existence within the realm of law and order. Nothing exists here outside of the order. Therefore, they are all determined by the natural laws. Once you understand, we do not have say over them, we cannot undo them, nor can we change them, and we can manage, we can endure them with the patience if we remember the fact all the time, I am living this life for discovering permanent happiness, everlasting happiness through the discovery of the reality. Therefore, I am committed to the pursuit of this discovery of the truth in terms of self-knowledge. And it is the self-knowledge which alone will bless me with permanent happiness. And until that knowledge, I am living this life for discovering the permanent happiness, and which nobody can snatch that away from me. All that I need to do is I need to attain the knowledge here. But until then, all these paths of opposites, what I am going through in my life, they are all impermanent. The pleasure also impermanent, pain also impermanent. Therefore, everything is impermanent means, and you know, once you understand this fact also, remember this fact, you can endure them with all patience. Is it clear? This is called titiksha. Krishna teaches this in Bhagavad Gita, how to endure them. If you live, so if you understand what is living a life of karma yoga, and if you live a life of karma yoga, then you will definitely have prasada buddhihi. The attitude of looking at everything that comes in life, all these parts of opposites are prasada, gift from the Lord. How can you see them as the gift from the Lord, prasada from the Lord? If you remember the fact that they are all determined by the natural laws, the universal law and order. And if you understand, they are all law-ordained situations that I am going through. And they are all determined by the law, means the law is non-separate from the Lord, which is a fact, which I have yet to understand. Therefore, because Shastram tells me, teaches this, the laws are non-separate from the Lord, and therefore the law-ordained situations are all Lord-ordained situations. Therefore, anything which comes in life is actually a gift from the Lord. This understanding helps me look at everything as the Lord, gift from the Lord, then there is certain capacity to accept the situations with the sameness of mind. Okay? It's called samatvam. This also what now? So, titiksha is possible if you have a Ishvara prasada buddhihi. Shamaha is possible if you have dharma adharma viveka buddhihi, and also Ishvara arpana buddhihi. Shama dama, both are possible. Is it clear? Therefore, these attitudes will help you. Three attitudes. Dharma, the dharma adharma buddhi means the discriminative understanding of right and wrong, and then the trying to do the right, avoiding the wrong, and performing everything with an attitude of offering as to the Lord, and whatever comes in life, seeing it as the law determined situation. Therefore, it is the gift from the Lord. And you have to remember, pleasure also, enjoyment of pleasure, experience of pleasure, desirable situation also will not free me from bondage, will not bless me with permanent happiness. Experience of pain and experience of pleasure also will not bless me with what? Permanent happiness. Permanent happiness is what? Only in knowledge of the truth. In knowing the truth alone, I can discover permanent happiness. This fact will help you manage the situations and remain the same in all situations, will help you put up with the situations, will help you endure the situations. Understand? So he only tells, titiksha means having endurance. Understand? Endurance, remaining the same in all situations. So one has to learn to endure everything. He says that. But Bhagavad Gita teaches how to have endurance. Titiksha. Is it clear? Because unless you learn to develop this endurance, titiksha, you'll be very disturbed. You cannot be balanced. What will happen if you do not know how to endure them? No. Then when pleasure comes, you will be elated. Pain comes, you will be dejected. You will feel low or you will feel high. Which means you will not be balanced. You will be low. Isn't it? You will be imbalanced. You will be disturbed. You will be shaken. You will be perturbed. Therefore, in order to avoid perturbance, in order to avoid the disturbance, in order to remain balanced, remain the same in all situations, you have to remember the fact about the pairs of opposites, understanding them to be what? To be complementary pairs. Now, may learn to endure the situations. This is titiksha. Okay, this is the fourth discipline. I said sixfold disciplines form the third qualification. We are seeing the third qualification involving sixfold disciplines. Now we are going to the fifth. Shamaha is over. Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha. Four disciplines are over. Now we are seeing the fifth discipline. Look at this. Nigrihitasya manasaha shravanadau tadanu guna visayecha samadhihi samadhanam. Okay. Samadhihi or samadhanam is the fifth discipline. Samadhihi or samadhanam. What is samadhihi? What is samadhanam? Here the author does not talk about the samadhi which people talk very highly of. Not samadhi experience here. Okay. Samadhihi means focused attention. Having focused attention, being focused in one's pursuit is called what? Samadhanam or samadhihi. It is like shamaha damaha help you withdraw your mind. Uparamaha helps you to retain your, isn't it, mind. And samadhihi tells you what should you do with that mind. Beautiful, isn't it? Withdraw your mind and senses from the scattered mind, you know, all or aimlessly sense organs wander all over. And now you withdraw them all. Now retain them, you know, in your duties. Then with that retained mind, what else should you do now? May you turn the attention towards the Shravanam. Isn't it? So here, Samadhanam, he says, Nigrihitasya manasaha. Nigrihitam manaha means the mind which has been well disciplined by following Shravanam, sorry, Dhamma, Shamaha, by following Dhamma, all these disciplines, mental discipline, by following mental discipline, sensory discipline, and also, and also withdrawing and doing one's duties properly. The doing one's duties also is what? It's a discipline. Following all these disciplines, now the mind is disciplined mind, isn't it? Such a disciplined mind, what should a disciplined mind do? It is Shravana Adau. Now, one's attention is with one, you have now focused attention, isn't it? Your attention is not anymore distracted, not disturbed. This focused attention, what should you do with that? He does not recommend meditation here, okay? He says, what should be your object of focus? May you focus all attention in listening to the unfoldment of the subject matter of the Shastram, Shravanam, Shravane. But here is Shravana Adho. So that focus attention, may you place it in listening to the subject matter of the Shastram. If you have done the listening, if you have already finished, done the listening, then focus attention in what? Mananam. If you have finished your mananam reflection also, then may you focus attention in contemplation, nididhyasanam. Or where else should I focus my attention? You focus your attention anything which will be supportive, conducive for shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Understand? This is called samadhihi, samadhanam. Isn't it beautiful to know this? See, you need not feel guilty at all. Shastram does not say anything wrong. If we do not manage, discipline our mind and sense organs and our organs of actions, what will happen? You cannot become focused. You have to have mastery over your mind, sense organs, then have a disciplined mind, disciplined organs. Then with disciplined mind and disciplined organs, do your duties. Once you do your duties also, what now? You are perfectly disciplined. As a perfectly disciplined person, now the disciplined mind, what should you do? Highly energetic mind, isn't it? Such a disciplined minded mind must be given to what? Disciplined mind's attention must be paid only to the listening to subject matter of the Shastram, scriptures, Shravanam. It is such a mind the Shastra needs, wants. Shastra study requires such a focused mind. You know, I have focused mind, but I am not interested in study of the Shastram. So I want to do something else. Means, then it will not serve the purpose. See, the samadhi means focused attention. Listen, having focused attention itself is what? Samadhi, being focused. Being focused is samadhanam. Are you focused? If you do not know, moksha is my choiceless end. And knowledge is the only, knowledge of the truth is the only means for accomplishing the ultimate end. Because it is that moksha accomplishing which everything else becomes as well accomplished. This is this moksha attaining which my life becomes really meaningful life, absolutely successful life. So I need to attain that moksha. And the attainment of moksha is in fact attainment of the knowledge of the reality. And attainment of knowledge of the reality is what? Attainment of knowledge of the self. Therefore, I am very living this life for self-knowledge, and for which Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasanam, these three steps involved in the pursuit of knowledge. The pursuit of knowledge is the only means for the attainment of knowledge. Isn't it? And the attainment of knowledge, how can I attain? Only through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, I can attain knowledge. Not by any other means. If already you understood, that's why Shraddha, we're going to say, no, I have Shraddha, we're going to see that also, qualification. Therefore, Shastram serves as a means of knowledge. Shastram is the Pramanam, means of knowledge. Therefore, I have to do what? Study the Shastram. Study of the Shastram, how? No, by listening to the the unfoldment of the Shastram. Regularly, systematically. Studying the Shastram with the help of the competent teacher is the Shravanam. Isn't it? So, my mind must be given to what? Attention of my mind must be placed where? Where should I pay my, attention? What should I pay my attention to? I have become focused. You have become focused, but you are not interested in Shravanam means that focused, the being focused is of no use. Whether even if you want to do PhD in physics or postdoctoral fellowship in physics or any other discipline, you have to be focused, isn't it? The focused attention, which means you can't have your mind everywhere, indulge in everything, and you want to attain something very big in your life. Accomplishment of anything very high in life is possible only if you are focused. At least other ends, whether you have aims, you have your ambition, you want to achieve or not, doesn't matter. But moksha is a choiceless end. You have to accomplish moksha either in this life. If you don't want in this life also, Bhagavan will chase you back. Okay? You have to come back choicelessly until and unless you attain moksha in terms of knowledge. You will be coming back again and again and again. Therefore, it's a choiceless end. Okay, that's why I asked you the very beginning in my introduction to Vedanta classes. We discussed this very well, clearly. I want to be happy. I want to be happy always. I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. I want to be happy. Therefore, the happiness, the limit, limitless happiness is a choiceless end. Who doesn't want to be? And that has to be discovered. That is not to be attained. It's already there, isn't it? Therefore, the discovery of this involves what? Shravanam, listening to the subject matter of the Shastram regularly, systematically. No, important. Therefore, all my mind, I have worked very hard to become focused. Now I have focus attention. Now I am not interested in Shravana means, again it's a waste of, isn't it? All vain effort. So for this samadhi means actually, you know, placing that focus attention in Shravanam. And not only Shravanam, after Shravanam, Mananam. After that, Nididhyasanam. That focus attention should, the attention should not be taken away from Shravanam or Mananam, because it will should go continuously one after the other to the Nididhyasanam. Or anything, suppose reading books, which are not any book you want to read, okay? Only the books you read, everything must be focused, means you are not involving yourself in anything which will take attention from the Shravanam. And you should involve yourself in things, book reading, etc. also, only which will be conducive and supportive of Shravanam. Tad anuguna vishaye. Collection of Vedanta books and study, trying to know the teaching, not googling and then Googlananda, going to Googlananda and then going to getting all those things, what all you want to get, getting confused also. Okay, that's why it's very important. Shravana Adau, the teacher says. That's called Samadhi. Understand? It's beautiful. Do you see how, what it, this, all these disciplines say? Shamaha. First, no, discipline your mind. Damaha. No, discipline your sense organs, organs of actions. Now you are disciplined minded. As disciplined minded, now what should you do? Focus attention in your duties. Now, as a performer of your duties, you are minding your own business, isn't it? This is actually Uparamaha, that also implies. You mind your own business. Very careful, isn't it? Then this helps you what now? You really, it blesses you with the very focused attention. As a focused attention means, now you don't want to waste your energy here. All your focused, your capacity to focus is what? Now is used only for Shravanam. Is it clear? Therefore, Samadhi means being focused. Being focused, placing one's focused attention. So being focused is equal to placing one's focused attention only in the study of the scripture, in pursuit of knowledge. Okay, this is the 23rd sentence, wherein the fifth discipline was over. Now we are going to the next discipline. Guru Upadishta Vedanta Vakyeshu Vishvasaha. Now the next is Shraddha. Shraddha is the sixth discipline. Shraddha is the sixth discipline here. Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha. In Tattva Bodha, we learned it as a fifth discipline. Here it comes as a sixth discipline. The Samadhanam has become the fifth here. That's all. Order has changed, but same disciplines. Shraddha means, see, literally it means faith. Faith means what? Unflinching faith, doubtless faith, no doubt at all, not even a tinge of doubt about what? Whether Shastra study is useful or not, whether Shastram serves as a means of knowledge or not. Some people, whenever we say this, Shastram serves as a means of knowledge, immediately they'll ask me the next question. Is the Shastram only means of knowledge of the truth? If there is another means of knowledge, you try. If you want to waste your time, go. If you say, then I don't want to go for arguments. If you are interested in the pursuit of knowledge, if you want the knowledge of the truth, you need a means of knowledge. Shastram serves as a means of knowledge. And the Shastram tells you the way of life, how you have to live also. Shastram tells you how to become qualified for knowledge. Shastram teaches everything. It is the Shastra, only from the Shastram you come to know that you are searching for happiness. It is the Shastram which helps you understand that there is no happiness, what happiness you are searching for. You are searching for permanent happiness. You are not interested in time-bound pleasure, happiness which comes and goes. You are interested in permanent happiness. It's a fact. Shastram helps you see what you are searching for. And that happiness is something to be discovered and not to be attained. The Shastram says that. And to attain that, it is where is it available, you do not know. If it is something to be discovered means, you have to discover it means, how will it discover if you do not know where it is available? It is available as the nature of the reality. Where do you get it from? It is the Shastram which states. And that reality, where should you discover it? Shastram teaches. How to discover that reality? Not as an object, but as the self. And how discovery of the reality as the self itself is the discovery of happiness, he tells. And for that, for that you need to be qualified. Your mind is the place, mind is the sthanam, where the knowledge of the truth has to rise. Knowledge has to rise, no? Where will the knowledge rise? Not on head outside or on the leg or foot or tummy, isn't it? Only system and other things will come. The knowledge has to rise only in the mind. And for the knowledge to rise in that mind, and how, what is the qualification? How should the mind be? What should be the condition of the mind if knowledge has to rise? And for which Shastram calls it a qualifications required for the knowledge. And to have it, to become qualified for knowledge, how, what should I do? We do not know, is it? How one should live one's life, what those qualifications are. How one should live one's life, what is the way of life? There's no choice, okay? This is the way of life. Okay, way of life. If you follow this way of life, if you live your life in this manner, in this way, then you will become qualified. You will be a disciplined minded. Then as a disciplined minded, you can be given the pursuit of knowledge. Then pursuit of knowledge, will bless you with the knowledge, which itself is the accomplishment of the ultimate human goal. It is the Shastram which tells you. If you do not have faith in that, it is the Shastram which serves as a means of knowledge of the truth. So if we do not have faith in the words of the Shastram, in the statements of the Vedantic statements, the statements of the scripture, do not have faith, how can you study them with attention? So faith is very important for you to pay attention there and thereby to understand the Shastram, thereby to benefit from the Shastram. If you do not have faith, first of all, how can you pay attention and how can you understand, how can you benefit? That is why study of the scripture is not an academic pursuit. It is a spiritual pursuit. It is not that going to university and doing Advaita, MA in Advaita philosophy. It is not an academic pursuit. It is spiritual pursuit. Isn't it? And it is not some cock and bull story also. It is a very, very logically presented, or the teaching which does not contradict your reasoning. You can see that throughout. Nothing contradicts your reasoning here. The teaching may not, sometimes certain things which you learn here may not be, you know, scientific, but it does not contradict your reasoning or science. Understand? Therefore, faith is very important. It's typical, like when you go to the doctor with some problem, the doctor advises certain things to you, gives you medicine, prescribes a medicine, and you, if you have a doubt, you cannot enjoy the benefit of the medicine, isn't it? Even for you, whether the medicine works or not, you should make use of it. Then you can say, you told me to take this medicine, I have taken this medicine, it has not really done anything good for me, or it has worked. Even to say that, you should make use of it, isn't it? Even for which you should have faith in what the doctor says. Do not have faith at all, you cannot take the medicine. Without taking the medicine, you cannot say whether it is useful or not, effective or not. Therefore, you cannot benefit from that. Our faith is very, very important. For here, the Shah, he says, no, Guru Upadishta, not simply going and buying any textbook, Upanishad book, right, translations and transliterations available in the market, buying any book and reading it. So I have great respect and reverence for all those people who publish these textbooks, because we need textbooks. Because they're available, you know, in the market, just buying them and keeping them and taking or reading the translations will only confuse you, will not help you. Guru Upadishta Vedanta Vakyeshu Shraddha. So the having unflinching faith without any doubt. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you know, anasuyantaha, you know, without any doubt about it, being critical of, without being critical of the Shastram, without finding fault with it, without doubting it, with a total unflinching faith in the words of the statements, Vedantic statements, the statements of the Vedantic teaching taught by the teacher, is Shraddha. Is it clear now? That is the sixth discipline. Why may it be here? It is made as a discipline. Discipline means what? It is very important for you to have it, isn't it? It is this discipline will help you throughout. If no Shraddha, I have Samaha, Damaha, everything, but I have no Shraddha. I don't have, you know, faith in the teaching of the Vedantic teaching, Vedantic statements taught by my teacher. Guru Upadishta Vedanta Vakyesha, I have no Shraddha. No, I have no, I don't really trust, I don't have faith in it. All these disciplines earned become what now? Will not serve their purpose. Therefore, Shraddha is very important. We should never forget this. Vedanta Shastram, this scripture called Veda Anta, end portion of the Veda, really serves as a means of knowledge. It's a valid means of knowledge. And this Vedantic statements taught by the teacher, you know, really will bless me with the vision. Taught, properly taught, will give me the vision. Guru Upadishta Vedanta Vakyeshu Shraddha. Vishwasaha. Vishwasaha means what? Believe, no? Unflinching faith is called a Shraddha. That is called Shraddha here. Okay. Now the last one. Now what is the last one here? The sixfold disciplines are over, which form the third qualification. Now we are going to see the fourth qualification. What is the fourth qualification? Don't get confused. First we have seen four anubandhas. Four factors required for the textbook. Of those four factors, we are seeing the first factor called a qualified student. And in that, as the first top factor we were discussing, there we are discussing fourfold qualifications. Now the fourfold qualifications, three qualifications are over. Is it clear now? Now to see the fourth qualification. What is the fourth qualification? Look at this. Mumukshutvam. Mumukshutvam means a noun. Okay. See, mokshaha means what? Freedom, liberation. Mumuksha means desire for freedom. Desire for freedom from limitations. Mokshaha literally means freedom. So freedom from what? You may say, if it is 9 o'clock, we all want freedom from your class. But here, this freedom, moksha, freedom from limitations, freedom from the unwanted, freedom from the undesirable. What is that which is unwanted, undesirable? For all of us, for all the human beings, all times, everywhere, one thing that is unwanted, uniformly unwanted, okay, undesirable is one thing, sorrow, dukkham. Sorrow, grief, no? Nobody wants to be sad all the time. So sorrow is one thing which is not desirable, which is unwanted, undesirable for all the people. Which time? Always. Where? Everywhere. That is why freedom from the unwanted, undesirable sorrow, being sorrowful, helplessly being sorrowful, not that we want to be sorrowful, but still we become sorrowful, isn't it? That's why we are helplessly sorrowful. This freedom from being sorrowful helplessly is a choiceless end. Therefore, freedom from sorrow implies being happy, happiness. Therefore, the direct meaning of the word moksha is freedom from limitations, freedom from sorrow. The implied meaning of the word moksha is happiness. Okay? Happiness. Before this moksha, so desire for happiness, desire for freedom from unhappiness, desire for freedom from limitations is called what? Mumuksha. Okay, moksha iccha, mokshaya iccha mumuksha. And mumukshutvam means being endowed with this desire for mokshaha. So desire for moksha is called what now? Having the desire for moksha is having mumuksha is called, is said to be mukshutvam. Is it clear or not? Now tell me, this is the fourth qualification. In fact, it should be the first qualification. Imagine, if you do not have the desire for moksha at all, imagine, what will happen? If you do not have desire for freedom from sorrow, if you do not have desire for happiness at all, I don't want to be happy, you know, it's okay. I don't want happiness. I'm already happy. Some people, they remain, you know, I'm already happy. I don't want to really knowledge, you know. You have to really analyze whether you know what happiness is. If there's no desire for freedom from limitations, there's no desire for freedom from moksha, freedom from sorrow, bondage, then you cannot know the value of knowledge. You cannot understand the connection between the knowledge of the truth and the moksha. Therefore, it is very important for one to understand this. I also explained in my introduction to Vedanta classes. Moksha, freedom from unhappiness, which implies the happiness, is a choiceless end. Common, human, universal, common, human, choiceless end. Because universally sought end. This means a common human, choiceless end. And this must be very clear. If you know this freedom from sorrow is a common human, choiceless, universal end, if it is very clear, then you have Purushartha Nischayaha. You are definite about the purpose of living this life is discovering this happiness. The choiceless, choiceless. Moksha is a choiceless end. What choice do you have? Otherwise, you can't help going through sorrows. You have to discover this. One day or the other. And if that is very clear, then you will know, you will understand the meaning of, only then you will understand the connection between the knowledge of the truth and the discovery of happiness. Only if you understand the connection, then you will know the value of the knowledge. Then, only then you can become committed to the pursuit of the knowledge. Only then you can have the value of the study of the scripture. Only then you will know the importance of becoming qualified for knowledge. Only then you can make all possible efforts to live a disciplined life. Only then your life becomes a disciplined, purposeful, meaningful, clean life. Only then you are living a life of a human being. Otherwise, what will happen? Animals also live, eat, drink, reproduce, they also die. What is the difference between animal and a human being? What do the animals not achieve? Tell me. They were born, they're more free than us, wander all over, somehow eat. They have some punyam and they'll have very good caretakers also. They'll take the dogs every day for a walk and all that. Eat food, they also eat food. they also reproduce. They also die. So we also can live like them. So what is the use of being blessed with the self-consciousness, knowledge of right and wrong? What is the use? It won't have any purpose, is it? Otherwise, that is why living a disciplined life, enjoined by the scripture, is what? The way of life. Way of life means a life which is lived in conformity with, in harmony with universal law and order. Which will help you what? Have all these disciplines, which will help you have the disciplined mind and sense organs. With the disciplined mind and senses, then you can pursue knowledge. Then pursuit of knowledge will be a joy. There's a purpose. Your life is not purposeless life. Of course, we have a lot of things, but there's a purpose. And ultimate purpose of living this life is discovery of, thank God, we need not attain moksha. We need not attain happiness. Shastram promises very clearly, there is already what you are searching for. What you search, there is already happiness, fullness, what you are searching for. And what you are searching for is not an object, not even distant from you, not is in you, outside you, it is very you. It needs to be discovered, as which means you need to discover your own self. You discover who you are. You have discovered what happiness is. And that discovery of what you are is discovery of happiness, which itself is what? The absolute accomplishment of human life, which itself makes this life a really meaningful, successful life. Isn't it? Therefore, the desire for moksha is so important. If you do not know, if there's no desire for moksha, then the meaning, the knowledge, pursuit of knowledge is irrelevant. Knowledge is impossible. Disciplined life also is meaningless. Understand? Even to enjoy the best of security, best of luxuries, even for that you need to be disciplined. And what to talk of? Attainment of the absolute wisdom. Therefore, it is important for us to know, to have this, what? The, you know, desire for moksha must be there. Desire for moksha is already there. Desire for moksha is already there. One has to discover the desire for moksha which is already there. Isn't it true? Desire for happiness is there or not? Already there. You discover it. Discover the desire for happiness which is already there. And have that desire and fulfill that desire in terms of knowledge. Is it clear? It's called mukshutvam, which is the fourth qualification. And with these four qualifications, the first topic of adhikari is over. The first factor is over. Okay? The one who is endowed with these fourfold qualifications is the adhikari, qualified for the knowledge of the truth. Now, we have understood the qualifications and we will analyze more of these qualifications. How to become qualified? How to become qualified? This itself, what? How to elevate myself? How to uplift myself? How, so what is the way of life I should live, etc. We'll see later on in the following classes. So the next topic also we'll start next class. So today we have completed Adhikari topic. If you have any doubts, please feel free to ask me. Okay? Not now. When you come back. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.